Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
32 times later.
Ooh.
So those of you who've been here for 32 times, bless your hearts. In my resume of spiritual consciousness, I will have been doing the teachings for 40 years in 2017, which is right around the corner. So if we decide that we're just going to carry on until 2017, that would be a really great idea, don't you think? So we'll just kind of be in the flow, and then I can say, the big 40! Which would really be fun. I've already passed 40 a long time ago, the other 40. And I want to acknowledge Donna, who has now gone back to Colorado, for this beautiful gift, and I'd like to make the calls and bring the flame forth. Oh, I call now for the light of the divine to come into and through this flame, and that as we light this flame, it is a symbol of the divine consciousness that we all carry. Thank you. Oh, voila. Isn't it wonderful? I love technology. Just press a button and there we have it. Today, we're going to be doing two ceremonies, but before we begin, I have something I also want to read. But I'd like to talk about a singular word that for me is so beautifully expressing what happens as you move upon the path. And it's something that for many people, they don't necessarily hold this word in high regard. And this word is harmlessness. Harmlessness. And when I first heard this word, it was through the writings of Dwakul and the Alice Bailey material. And he spoke about this harmlessness, to be harmless, have such harmlessness within all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our feelings, all of our actions, that there would be nothing that would be harmless. We would not harm another in any way, and we would not harm ourselves. So within our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies, we would hold this line of harmlessness. And often the mind, the ego conscious mind, does go into harmfulness, not only toward ourselves, but to others. Thoughts that we think that are harmful. And the same is true with words that we speak, feelings that we have, actions we may take. And the divine gave me this vision, and some of you know it who worked with me in the Summerlin House. If you could imagine your body is filled with rose petals, the most beautiful rose petals, and you're filled with them. There is no part of you, neither physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, that is not completely filled with these rose petals. And as you go through life, you see the other as filled with these very delicate, beautiful rose petals. And every step you take, beneath each footstep, there are rose petals. And you're walking upon these rose petals throughout your life. And the divine said to me, if you live with harmlessness, it means that you will never bruise one rose petal within self, within the other, and there will be no step that you will take that will bruise any of the petals beneath your feet. So if we were to take this into our lives and really allow ourselves to deeply experience what this is, it's interesting the things that fall away. Because sometimes they just, pardon me, they just have that little bit of harmfulness in there, a little edge somewhere that can bruise a petal within ourselves or the other. And even in our thoughts, when we hear about the atrocities that happen upon the earth plane, and we might send thoughts that are less than loving, we have become as harmful in those thoughts as those that we would judge. So if we are to allow our minds to be one with the divine, then it is for us to experience fully the harmlessness of every single thought. Now, this takes a degree of self-awareness that is enormous, because the ego loves habit, and it loves negative habit more than anything else. So we have the opportunity to look literally with every thought in that place of our harmlessness. And through thought and through word and through action and through feeling and how we are at one with our bodies. If our bodies are filled with these wonderful, beautiful petals, then we must relinquish all harm that we would bring to any part of our physical body. And that includes what we drink, what we eat, how we are with our body. Are we gentle and kind and loving? Or do we still have resentments toward our body in one form or another? So if we allow this harmlessness to truly, truly be the way we are in the world with our inner and our outer, then it means that there's no conflict at all. We never will have conflict in our life again. It will simply disappear. And those who are in that place of harmfulness, we simply show up as an expression of the harmlessness. And each of us, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, we can show up in that harmlessness. And it is very beautiful. So I'd like to read a poem about a rose. How in the world does Mary find a poem about a rose? I do not know. It is not I, my darlings. It is the divine. This is Hafez. And I have to tell you the title. How did the rose? Question mark. How did the rose ever open its heart and give to this world all of its beauty? It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Otherwise, we all remain too frightened. How did we ever open our hearts and give to this world all of our love? We felt the encouragement of light against our being. Otherwise, we all would remain too frightened. Okay? So if we let go of fear and we stand in that harmlessness, then something else can happen. And who we are as the opening, expressing God consciousness will bloom within us effortlessly. The rose doesn't say, I think I'm tired today. I don't think I really want to open. I think I'll just stay shut. Now, we know how to do that. We know how to stay shut, do we not? But if we truly allow ourselves to be inspired by all of these beautiful flowers who are open, if we open to that same extent, then who we really are in harmlessness will always be present. The next one I want to read to you is just an extraordinary piece. And the first time I read this, it just broke my heart, because I realized that in our lives we sometimes forget that there is a much bigger picture. Hafez again. I have come into this world to see this, the sword drop from men's hands, even at the height of the arc of their anger. Because we have finally realized there is just one flesh to wound. It is our beloved within us. I have come into this world to see this. All creatures hold hands as we pass through this miraculous existence we share on the way to even a greater being of soul. A being of just ecstatic light, forever entwined and at play with God. I have come into this world to hear this. every song the earth has sung since it was conceived in the divine's womb and began spinning from God's wish. Every song of wing and fin and hoof, every song of hill and field and tree and woman and child, every song of stream and rock, every song of tool and lyre and flute, every song of gold and emerald and fire, every song the heart has cried with magnificent dignity to know itself as God. For all other knowledge will leave us again in wanting and aching. Only imbibing the glorious divine will complete us. I have come into this world to experience this. Men and women so true to love, they would rather die before speaking an unkind word. Men and women so true, their lives are God's covenant, a promise of hope. I have come into this world to see this, the sword drop from men's hands, even at the height of their arc of rage, because we have finally realized there is just one flesh we can wound. Every song the heart should cry with magnificent dignity to know itself as God. Men and women so true to love, they would rather die before speaking an unkind word. Could we be that? Let us be that. Let us be that. We have the being within us. All we have to do is be harmless. And how does one become harmless? L-O-V-E. Just to love. And if you love, the harmlessness is like breathing in and breathing out. But the moment you withhold love, the moment you withhold love, harmfulness will appear. It is the withholding of that love that causes us to feel that we are not enough. How can we ever feel that when the divine is right here, whispering in our ear 24 hours a day? And all you have to do is take the cotton out and open up and say, I'm ready. Speak to me of love. And it will happen. And it won't necessarily be a human being. I mean, how many of us have been awakened by a bird song? Wind through the trees. The babbling brook. The ocean. I go to the Great Mother out there and I just want to lie down and die. I mean, it's like, it's so magnificent. And when the sun rises, I have to have light. And even in the dark, you know, when it gets winter, it's like, I just can't wait. I wake up in the dark and I say, come on, light, let's do it. Because the light is such an incredible level of consciousness for us to carry. And we don't have to do anything except just say, I'm ready. And it will be yours. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to work. Unless you want to. If you really love struggle, go for it. Frankly, I don't like struggle. I just want to be in the sweet ease. That's what I call it. And the divine said, just live your life in the sweet ease. And the moment it's not in the sweet ease, then guess what? Something else is happening, and you better find out right in that moment. Do not wait a second. Move for change in that moment. So I want to acknowledge Hafez, and the wonder of these writings are just so magnificent, and how they bring us to a whole new place of our awareness. We're going to do two processes this evening. One I have done for all of you, and now you will do it for one another. The reason I would like to do this is because each of us has within us this potential of pure love, and often we forget the potential of that within us. We become so involved with our daily, what I call doodah day, the daily stuff of life, and it becomes almost more important because there's that urgency of the ego. to do whatever has to be done. And the being of who we are asks only that we remember that we are pure being. Now, as we do this first process, and I will demonstrate with Laura, we will all be standing throughout the whole process. It's not going to take that long. And you will be speaking. So I would ask you to speak in the fullness of your being. In other words, whispering doesn't really make it. You have to speak with the fullness of your being. And in so doing, the transmission of energy that's going to flow through you from yourself to the other will be very powerful. For many people, the voice has been one of the last things to really be that place of consciousness, particularly if you have been told you are to be the silent child. Anybody raise your hand who was raised to be the silent child? Okie dokie. All right. And the only way we got to use our voices were either getting angry with our siblings or playing roughhouse. I mean, can you remember in grammar school, did anybody ever play Red Rover, send so-and-so right over? Any of y'all who are not Americans, we would hold hands, right? So, and my hands are a little cold right now because I'm bringing the energy in. Okay, we'd hold hands. Then someone would come and try and break this connection, okay? And you would just, and it would just hurt, but you weren't going to let go. You would not let that person break that, okay? And then when they finally did, then however it was broken, then we were the ones that had to go and do this thing. Okay, so we used to play Red Rover. Red Rover, Red Rover, send Alice right over. And we'd all go, ah, and we would get ready. But we would say it with big, strong voices so they could be heard all over the playground, because this was our time to hoot and holler, because then when we went into class, it was like, Dad, you've got to be kidding. I'm sitting here. What are they talking about up there? So we had to let off steam. And in my home, you didn't let off steam with loud voices. Children are seen but not heard. And my mother would say, when your father comes in tonight, we will all be very quiet. And we knew exactly what that would mean. And when we were very little, and Dad would be coming home, we had a driveway, you know, it wasn't long, but she said, I want you to run back and forth 10 times to get us tired. So, you know, we just go, ta 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 ta, one, ta 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 ta, two, and you know, but we were totally exhausted, which was wonderful, and Dad would come home and we'd just go, you know, we'd just be lumps. We'd just be sitting there being lumps. And it was terrific. He loved it. Mom loved it. It was a good thing. Yes. Yes, indeed. So, I honor that when we speak to each other this evening, to speak from that place of our being, and if you are in alignment, which all of us are, else we wouldn't be in this room, when we're in alignment and we speak, it allows that energy not only to come up this way through the soles of our feet and down this way through our crown chakra, but it allows for the heart energy to really center and that energy to come through our mouths. And I never realized how the power of speech could change the energy in a room until I had watched people who really were very good speakers. And they would come, and as soon as they began to speak, the energy in the room changed. And everyone was totally present. It was extraordinary. And I began to do theater at a very early age, and I realized I already had projection from doing Red Rover, send Alice right over, and everybody else on stage, they would be just these tiny little voices. So they would send me away. They'd say, don't come to rehearsal this weekend. So I would go away. And then they, the coach or whoever it was, the director, would begin practicing everybody speaking up. And then when I'd come back Monday and we'd have rehearsal, and I would say my line, and then here was this energy coming from these people who before were whispering, and it was so thrilling. to have that exchange of energy. And I said, that's what we really are about as we live and unfold who we are. A quiet voice is very wonderful. But when you want to speak from a greater truth, you have to really expand what it is that you're saying. And you don't add more words. The less you say, the better. But it is the energy that you bring to those words. Yes? Okay. So, is everybody nervous now? Okay, that's good. Okay, let's all stand up. And you go laugh. You go say, oh, that's what we're going to do? I know that. Okay, so I'm going to start with Mark. Okay, love, put your hands out. Y'all know that? What is that? Tell me that joke.
Red Rover, Red Rover.
You remember this one? You say the name. I'll do it to you first, and you can do it to me. Laura, your love is the most powerful thing on the planet.
Mary, your love is the most powerful thing on the planet.
Now, y'all feel that? And I realize that we get nervous in the service. Well, we have to do something like this, okay? We get a little nervous. In the service of the divine, we go, I'm a little nervous. And that's all right. That's all right. Because often, the divine is going to ask us to go where we would never comfortably go. Because love will take you where you are not going to necessarily be comfortable. And if your comfort zone is very familiar to you, then take some chances and step out a bit. So let's take a little seat now. I have something I would like to recommend between now and when we meet again in September. It was about, almost 10 years ago, the Divine said to me, every month, I want you to do something that you've never done before. I went, and I said, okay. And so I had a mud bath. I'd never been in mud, legitimately. As a child, I used to love to make mud pies. I said, I just want to be in the mud. So then I did mud. Here comes it, come on. So first I had a mud bath. That was really wonderful. And then the next thing I wanted to do was to get one of those wraps where they wrap you up, just like you're, you know, an Egyptian mummy. And so I said, okay, wrap me up. And they said, you know, most people don't want their face wrapped. I said, wrap it up. I want to know what that feels like. Because I had been told when I was learning how to see and call and do all the work that I do, that I had been buried alive in a sarcophagus and had died. And I thought, okay, let's just go back there and see what that was all about, you know? So I had them wrap me up and did my face, and I went back into that energy, and it was very profound. And I healed a lot of energies where I had been bound, not necessarily physically, but I had been bound by the customs or traditions of the country in which I lived. I had spoken out, and I had been, you know, burned at the stake, and all kinds of things had happened because I went against that which was the binding force in so many of my embodiments. And that was an opportunity to break away. I'd never been up in a balloon. So I said, I got some friends together. I said, could we just go up in a balloon? And they said, yeah, we'd love to do that. We haven't been up in a balloon either. So up in a balloon we went. I mean, it was terrific. We had a great time. I'd never been in a submarine. I said, I've got to find out what it's like to be in a submarine. So I went to a yard that had a submarine. I was in Connecticut, and they have a big submarine yard there. And I said, you know, and they had tours. You could go down in these submarines. I said, yeah, this is going to be something. So I went down into the submarine, you know, and they said, now we're going to shut the top thingamajigger, and you're really going to be in here like it's the real deal. It was amazing. I thought to myself, how do these people, the men, get in these submarines and live for, you know, through wars in these vessels? It was incredible. So there were a number of them, and one of them was to be in a Russian helicopter. And You see, that's how the divine works. If you say I'm going to have something different, you will have something different. And all the doors had been taken off of this Russian helicopter, and it was to take you from this place to an island. And I thought, oh, this is going to really be fun. And we get up there, you know, and it's boom, 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 boom. You know, it wasn't smooth, but it was wonderful. So I had a series of experiences that are amazing. But the one that was deeply touching to me was when the Buddha came to me during that year and said, I want you to work with me for 2 years, and you will align with the teachings that I will be giving you, which I did. And I said, I really want to know, what happens to you all when you get to the other side? You've been these huge masters of consciousness, and you have changed the world in the most profound ways, and it's still happening. Tell me about what's happening to you all. And they said, what do you think's happening to us? We're going through the same levels of transformation that y'all are going through here. It's just that in the formless, the way the energy moves is a very different vibration. Whereas here, you have to move through the physicality of the energy, like reading a book. You have the book, you read the book, you take the information in. Whereas when you're on the inner planes or different levels of consciousness, then it doesn't work that way. There's a whole other way of energy working when you're in the formless. And I said, wow, that's fascinating. And I said, and is this with every soul who goes to the other side? And each soul can make decision. Are they going to work in higher levels of consciousness in the formless? Or are they going to hold a particular vibration which will they will then re-embody with that vibration again and again and again, because they have certain things that they really want to learn, and they can only learn it by holding a particular energy that will bring to them the opportunities to learn those things again and again and again. And one reason that war continues over and over and over again is that certain souls who are working with that energy come back in the embodiment in a family where that tradition of war, that the men will go to war, and we have that here in the United States. If you ask most of the men who are fighting for the United States, they say, well, my father and my father's father and so on, they've always been in the military, and so I chose to be in the military. Do you understand? So when they were in the formless, they were holding that particular line of energy and then allowing it to come through the embodiment. So my experience with Jesus was the same kind of energy, and with his teachings, it was the same thing. And then I said to the Buddha and Jesus, I said, so, are you all brothers? And they said, oh yes, of course we're brothers. We're absolutely brothers. We have come to do this work, and we are complementary, and yet we overlay constantly in what we're doing. And they said, you know, you think when you pass and you go to the other side that you just get to kind of hang out and there are angels and there's music. And, well, yes. You know, if you want to play the harp, that's fine. You can do whatever you want to do. But once you get there, then decisions, you make decisions about what you're going to do in the formless. And my friend, my dear friend Louisa, said, the ashram that I never have had, embodiment after embodiment upon the earth plane, and I have tried, I have done everything I can, and every embodiment, it just isn't working. She said, this time, she's 93 when she passed, she said, I'm going to have an ashram. It's going to be a gorgeous ashram. And I'm going to have all the students that I want, and they're going to come and say, Louisa, yes, we've been waiting for you right here in this ashram. And so I go and I visit her in the morning when I do my work, and she's just having a ball. And when she was in embodiment, she said, I have this dragon in my throat that does not allow me to speak as I would want to speak. And we did some work on it and saw why it was there and so on and so forth. And I said, Louisa, the truth is that when you are in the formless, that's when you're really going to be doing the work. The form is not your medium any longer. You've embodied many times to try and accomplish this, and she's been the one, you know, behind the curtain. She's been the one holding the energy for everybody else out here who's been doing all this wonderful work. And she said, you know, I was in embodiment with the Buddha, and I was back here. And he was doing what he was doing. And once he became realized, she said, all of us who were supporting his unfoldment, we were there in that embodiment. Likewise with Jesus. When Jesus came into embodiment, there were many, and many of us, the women who were in that, the women around Jesus, and he had many women around him to support him, because he had to do it through a male consciousness. And he said, I've got to balance this tremendous male energy that I'm going to have to work with in this embodiment, and I need the balance of that female energy. So when he would go into someone's home, it was the women in the kitchen who cooked the meal and served it, who washed his feet, washed his hands, washed his clothes, took care of him as he went from village to village and house to house. So in every embodiment, we have those who are in support, we have those who are actively energizing what we are creating and doing, and then there are those who are onlookers because their job is just to see, do I want to do this next time? I'll watch and see how this unfolds. Perhaps that's what I will do next time. But pardon me, when we're in the formless, there's a plethora, a tremendous amount of choice as to what you will align with. Now, the beauty is that as you grow and deepen in your practice, you can start doing it while you're here. Why wait? I don't want to wait till I'm in the formless. Pooh. I want to do it right now. Yeah. I want to be up in that balloon. I want to be down in the sea. I want to be in this consciousness, not only of my humanity, but my divinity. And I want to see my humanity and my divinity like this. I don't want to say, well, I'm going to be divine over here and you know, I'll practice and then I'll be harmful. Mm-mm. I want to be here and say, I will be here and I will be harmless. And if I'm over here, I will be harmless. And if I'm over there, I will be harmless. And it is a huge practice. And it means that you have to really work your spiritual muscle. Because every opportunity to be harmful, it will come unto you, will it not? In every form, any form that you could possibly imagine, it will come unto you. So that you can say, have I the wherewithal to hold the harmlessness? This is what we spoke about before you came in. How to be harmless in everybody. Physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies. And what does that mean? It means that you are no longer reactive. You will not react to anything. You will only embrace everything. And you will embrace everything with your love. So if you are reactive, it still means that within yourself, there is still a level of fear. Still a level of harmfulness can happen to you or another. And particularly if it is amongst your children. Your fear of harm coming to them. But instead, if you would hold the possibility that everything is in divine order and everything comes unto that, to each and every person in this room exactly the way it's supposed to, and to everyone that is in our family energy, everyone who is in the United States of America, everyone who is in the world. There is nothing that we cannot hold. And if you decide that you are going to be harmless, I mean really harmless, then your life will change.
Then what?
Your life will change. Now, what is change? Change is an aspect of love, going from the present vibration to an upward vibration, higher vibration, an upward spiraling pattern. Now, why can't we just go in a straight line? Because the ego has all this time for the change to occur. Because the ego does not want change. It will do anything it can to hold what is present. Okay? And it will continue to hold it until we say, everything is love. Everything is love. Now, if we see with the eyes of love, we can only see with the eyes of love. We cannot see with anything else. We can only see with that. Therefore, we will not see harmfully, nor will we judge something as harmful. We will simply see it with love. Now, to open our eyes, and in one of these wonderful poems, it talks about the little patches on our eyes, and that a wind will come and blow them away, and then we will see. So, what are these little patches before our eyes? All those things that we have not held in love, and have quite literally blinded the way we see. But if we are harmless, truly harmless, then here is the wind that will blow the little patches away. Now, the first time I read that, I was told, once you have come into that place of harmlessness, there will be the right action at the right time, the right words at the right time, right thought, right feeling, right action, that you will know to the depths of your being how to move in that place of clarity, always in clarity. I said to the divine, tell me about the God qualities. You want to know the first one I got? Relentlessness. Relentlessness. If you don't have relentlessness, you're not going to wake up. You got to be relentless, folks. Every minute, you got to be on top of it. Because the ego just goes, and you go, oh, it's really hard. Now, if I'm being relentless, the minute I see this starting to happen, yeah? Sorry, no, we're not going there. Okay, you have to be relentless. And the first time the divine said that to me, I said, you've got to be kidding me, relentless? And everybody said, Mary, you're the most relentless person I know. And I take that as a great compliment. I'm highly disciplined. To be relentless, you also have to have discipline. I had to learn how to discipline this energy because I have a great big energy, and I had to learn how to focus it and move it in a way that was loving and harmless. I grew up in a family where it would just go, who's willing for me to zap them? Anybody raise your hand? Just, thank you. I would just, and then my sibling, go, do it to me. There, just, and you go. And then you got stronger by doing it, so then you'd go up, a double whammy, you know? I mean, it was ridiculous. But you see how it works. We begin to feel that we have to be so strong so that at the moment anything happens, we'll be strong enough to endure whatever is coming at us, right? Rather than allowing it to unfold, holding the energy within us. And the moment we feel that we're not in alignment, come back into alignment. Last week, you go off, you don't come back, exponentially you're already out there. How are you going to pull that back? Immediately upon awareness. Now that means that you have to be relentlessly aware, right? Because it will come. It will come. And you'll be tested three times. And if you don't get it on the third one, you get three more. And so on and so forth. So I said to the divine, just make it clear, because I really want to get this. I really want to get this. So I realized that being relentless is very important. Being disciplined is very important. Having a good sense of humor is very important. And if you cannot laugh at yourself, please start practicing immediately. You got to have a good sense of humor, because the work is the work. It's called the work because it's work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Louisa used to say, I cannot believe how you all are moving energy. She said, we would have to work days and weeks to be able to just move energy a little bit. And she said, it used to be that we were on this little trail and we had to walk in bare feet carrying heavy loads. I mean, it was really hard. And she said, all of you are on 8-lane highway and you're all in Maseratis and you're all going 90 miles an hour. Do you understand? From whence it came to where it is now is unbelievable. And we can move with light speed if we choose. But most people don't. Why? Anybody? Why?
Fear.
Fear. What else?
Too hard.
What else?
Not fashionable.
Habits.
A lot of ego. Responsibility.
And what will happen if I do that? The ego says the most horrific thing will happen. You will be alone. I will repeat that. You will be alone. Most people don't want to wake up. The fear of being alone is huge. And we have to leave a lot behind to wake up. But that doesn't mean that more isn't going to come. More than we ever imagined will come. But no one ever tells you about that part. At least I never heard that part. I said, I don't care if I have to be alone. I'm not alone. I have all this energy coming in from the formless, so I'll never be alone. I've never felt alone for a moment in my life. But in terms of how it looked in the exterior, friends, people would fall away. They'd say, you know, we just can't stand what's happening to you. Why are you doing this, you know? It's got to be witchcraft. It's got to be, you know, they named all the things that it could be. And I said, okay, I've just got to go on. And if it's alone, then it's alone. What is so bad about alone? In our culture in particular, alone is a very scary thing.
Alone means giving up all your addictions.
And everything, yes. Oh my gosh.
Many addictions.
Right on.
That means being totally alone.
That's right. And from my point of view, from where I am now, I mean, I began step by step by step, and people would fall away, and the next thing would happen, and the next thing would fall away, and then the next thing would fall away, and then the divine said, lie down and don't move. Everything fell away. You will not dance. You will not move. You will lie down. And that's what you're going to do. And I did for months. Just lay on the floor. And it was very profound. But I had to let go of everything. And when the divine said, no more dancing, I said, who will I be if I'm not dancing? And the divine said, you will be nothing. Can you be nothing? And I have given my life to this work. I said, I will be nothing for as long as you want me to be nothing. And if I am on this floor for the rest of my life, so be it. And I just surrendered everything. Just surrendered everything. Now I had to go through that because that was part of my unfoldment. Now, because I did that, y'all don't have to do that. Do you understand?
No.
Yes. Okay? When an individual is asked to do the absolute opposite of what has been their truth for many, many years and many, many embodiments, and I lay down on that floor, I realized eventually, because I lay there long enough to get it, that this was my service to humanity, to all of humanity. No matter when, how, what, who might occur beyond this room in which I lay on the floor, that I was doing this for every single person on the planet, whether they were born or will be born or already born or wherever they are in their lifetime. That's what happens when you say, I will do this. Not for me, because if I did it for me, then who would be there? The ego would be there. I said, I can only do it if I'm doing this service for whatever it is that the divine wishes this service to be. I don't even need to know what the service is. If you think that when you meditate, pray, and contemplate, you're doing it for you, forget it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. But if you contemplate, pray, and meditate, or you sing, or you dance, or whatever you do, and you do it for the purity of that which you are doing, and you do it with all your heart and all your soul, and you do it without any of this other stuff going on, you simply
are there in that moment, in the presence of the divine which you are, then you're in service. Service is not about doing anything. Service is about being. Being, not doing. And when the divine said that to me, I said, I don't understand that. I was brought up that the more you do in service, the more doing, the better. So get on with the doing for service with others. And the divine said, that is not a truth. That is the ego. The truth of being is that which serves. Now, how that being moves through you and what the exterior world might look like is going to be whatever it is, right? But the fundamental energy in that service is the being which you are, the divine consciousness that you carry. And if you are then guided to do something, the doing will arise from the being. In this culture and in most cultures around the world, the doing arises out of more doing, arises out of more doing, arises out of more doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're never doing enough. Got to do more. There's so much to be done. There's so much happening on the planet, these terrible things, and you need to do more. You need to do more. Get on with it. Let's get doing. And the divine said, if you don't know what being is, then the doing is of no consequence. It's just filling the time, dears. You're just doing more. Fill the time, fill the time, fill the time. Okay? Now, this was huge for me to understand because I grew up in a family of consummate doers. And, of course, that was perfect. So that I learned so much about doing that it became an addiction. I was addicted to it. And I did it so well, and everybody went, oh, she does so much, and she just, gosh, she's just working all the time so hard. She does such a good job, and gosh, I could never be like her because she just does it all the time. And then the divine said, lie down on the floor. And don't do anything. So I honor that all of y'all are going to go forth and do whatever you do. But if it arises from your being, and you can check in and say, am I doing what arises from my being? Now, let's say you have a job you don't really love, but you're showing up anyway. What if you show up and you're lovingly present no matter what it looks like out there inside yourself? Then who's showing up? Your being is showing up while you are doing whatever the doing is. Do you understand? So if the being is arising, then who cares? You know that wonderful little book, Chop Wood, Carry Water? You know, you chop the wood, you carry the water. But it's not about that. It's what happens before you chop the wood and carry the water. And while you're doing that, Thich Nhat Hanh says that in his life and the work that he's doing with so many young children and young adults who have been through horrific experiences, particularly in Vietnam, and that was his homeland. And he said, I write letters to many of them just to let them know that there's someone who is caring for them, thinking about them, holding them in a precious place. And he said, and then I finish the letter and I just take a moment to just be with them. And he said, that's the only reason that I'm here, is for that moment to be with them. The letter is just the physical act of communication. But that moment of being with each person is that which is the most real, the most real. And I share this with you because as we go forth with a great exuberance from this place, let me say that again, everybody looks so solemn. As we go forth from this place with a great exuberance, thank you, then you can say, shall I go and bring my being to all that I do? And if you begin to bring your being to all that you do, certain of your doing will simply fall away because it is of no consequence. But that which holds the essence of your being while you are in the doing, yes, that you will hold on to. And it will flower in ways you cannot imagine. And it will lead you down paths that you never dreamt you would ever walk. It will do that. And, as happened for me, the divine said, please tread water. I'm very good at treading water. And for years, I tread water. And I would say to the divine, when can I stroke out? I want to stroke out in the waters of the divine. The divine said, please, just keep treading water. And I'd see people just, you know, just flying by in the water. And I go, you know, just treading water. Years went by. But they were good years. They were wonderful years. And the exterior looked like normal, but what was happening on the interior, I was just treading water, just being in that divine consciousness all the time. And then when the divine said, okay, would you like to tread water now, or would you like to kind of stretch out and do some swimming, you know? I said, I believe that swimming thing would be a good thing. And since I had grown up swimming, of course, I knew how that would be. And the energy that I had been using to tread water, and many of us have tread waters in our lives, have we not? If you haven't, it will come unto you. Maybe just at the very end of your life, when you're in bed and you're waiting for the last gasp, you'll say, so this is what Mary said, I'm treading water, waiting for the next thing. Indeed. Whatever it is in your life that you love, then love it and bring your being to it. And then if it unfolds in the doing, and the being is that which is the energy around which the doing is occurring, then you will be in alignment, will you not? And then when you meditate, do all those wonderful things, just tread a little water. Be in that stillness. Feel what that's like. And then as the day begins and you move out into all of this, this exquisite embodiment. Exquisite. What a word. This is an exquisite embodiment. And it's only exquisite if you're in your being all the time. Okay? You never leave the being. It's the focus. Because the being is the divine which you are. And then, whatever the doing is, the being is that which brings you into that doing. Okay? And you begin to see a difference and a shift, perhaps in how it is around the things that you do. You will not just be doing them any longer. And many of them are tasks which I would absolutely prefer not to do. But that doesn't make any difference, because if I bring my being to it, then I'm peaceful and calm and loving and I'm enjoying it. But I have to shift. I have to shift my consciousness to be able to do that. Okay. Now, the next ceremony we're going to do, I will be doing with each of you. And one of the aspects of energy that I have been working with for many years, I call it the channel of light. The channel of light is that which extends from the realms of the divine. And because our soul is deeply connected there, that channel of light is that soulfulness, the soul which we are, coming down through us and anchoring, as I have talked about, into the heart of Mother Earth. And as that light of consciousness, and I call it from the heart of God, but others have other places, points of energy that they draw it from, as it comes from the heart of God and is connected with our hearts and then down into the heart of Mother Earth, there's an energy of flow that occurs moving down through us and then from the heart of Mother Earth coming back up and back into the heart of the divine. And in that flow of energy, we have, this is how I feel it. Everybody feels it differently. Sometimes it's like a pulsating energy that I can feel. Sometimes it's just a pure vibration that I can feel. Sometimes it is it's like a laser beam in that it is so pure and so refined that it is just exquisite in the way it moves through my being and through my physical body. I will make the calls. I ask you to listen to the words from your being. When I have completed the calls, I will then say the prayer as our silence has been in the humming. Thank you. I call now for the light of the divine to create a perfect circle of love, light, peace, and joy around all who are present here in the physical and also on the inner planes. I wish to acknowledge and give thanks for all souls who've gathered to be with us, whether in or out of embodiment, and for the radiance in which we find ourselves. Thank you. I call now for the infilling and indwelling of the divine within all of our bodies, planes, and cells. I acknowledge and give thanks for this and for the divine consciousness that is available to us 24 hours a day, unceasingly. Thank you. I call now that we enter into the serene center of our being within our hearts. And there we enter the silence, allowing ourselves to fall more deeply still in love with the divine which we are. And so it is. And I open my heart, and I bring you, Gaia, beloved Mother Earth, into my heart. Thank you, Gaia, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. And thank you, Gaia, dear beloved Mother, for loving us and nurturing us through each and every one of our embodiments. Thank you, Mother. I love you. And I open my heart, and I bring you, beloved elementals of earth, air, fire, and water, into my heart. Thank you, dear ones, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love, which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. And thank you for your union and communion with Mother Earth, and your union and communion within every cell of our physical body. For without you, we could not exist upon the earth plane. Thank you. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring the whole of humanity into my heart. Thank you, beloved souls. All souls who are in the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. All souls who are leaving the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And all souls who are coming into the embodiment, I love you. And to my soul, thank you. I love you. Thank you, dear beloved souls, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you, dear souls. I love you. And to all those beings, beloved souls, who have been with us this evening, rejoicing, laughing, experiencing, as only souls can do. Thank you, dear beloved souls, how blessed we are, not only that you indwell within us and accompany us through our days, but upon our passing, we are then, once again, pure divine soul, and we will manifest again and again and again. And in this embodiment, it is our joy to be with those of a like vibration, that we may share our humanity and our divinity, and in a loving embrace of all that is, and that we will be harmless. Our harmlessness, that which is love, unceasing. For all of this, I do give unceasing thanks. And I call now that the divine